close the hatch and exhaust the airlock.
You're the man that writes serials, can't you write science fiction?
Contact!
Of course, you started writing about journeys into space at a time when we hadn't even lifted off from this Earth, or at least got past the stratosphere.
I did have a little interest in the stars.
While I'm captain of this ship, you'll do as I say.
When they asked me to write Space Force, I was going to use the original characters.
This is the log of Magnus Carter, scientific observer aboard the Space Force, more than 500 days out from Earth.
Hearing you, Magnus.
Safely aboard the alien ship, and you should see it. Extraordinary.
You will be examined and categorized. You will then be taken back to Corthia. Or cast adrift.
Take him down to interrogation.
If one goes, we all go.
Take him away. Very well.
No, come with us.
Let go away. Of him. Stand back.
Stand back or we fire.
Get the gun.
Look, Chipper.
Chipper.
Look at my face.
No!
What's that?
Some kind of ray or particle propulsion.
You must do as we say.
You'll have to obey them, Saxon.
Keep him away from the airlock.
No, let me go.
Space Force, your time is up.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton. Preparing raw data. Audio generation complete. Prepare for interview transmission in 3, 2, 1.
I'd just come out of back from the war, out of the Air Force, and I'd written a very successful series, a Western series called Riders of the Range. And then one day I was called up to Michael Standing's office. He was the head of my department, and said, how would you like to write some science fiction? I said, well, why me? He said, well, you're the man that writes serials. Can't you write science fiction? I said, no. I said, my forte is Westerns. That's what I'm doing. I've been writing a Western for 6 years. And he said, anybody that writes a Western must be able to write science fiction. So I thought, well, maybe that's right. So I said I'd have a try. And so I did a trial one, and they seemed to like it. And that started it all.
10, 9, 8.
Close the hatch and exhaust 7, the airlock.
6, 5, 4, 3.
Suit now inflating.
2, 1. Contact!
Well, I did have a little interest in the stars. I flew for 3.5 years during the war, and I had a little navigation instruction, you know, which included a bit of star work. And so I thought, well, I'll have a go at this. I was also very keen on H.G. Wells.
I've read this book 4 times now. I practically know it by heart.
Is it any good?
Oh, yes. I first read it as a child. It's always been a favourite of mine.
Well, don't keep it all to yourself. Read us a bit.
I don't think you'd like it all that much.
How do we know until we've heard it?
Here, go on, read it. Or some of it anyway. We can have another instalment next time the light's on.
Go on.
Oh, all right. You really want me to?
One of my favourite authors when I was a boy was H.G. Wells. Not only because of his books, but because he lived near, quite near where I was brought up, in the West One area of London.
What's it called? And who's it by?
It's by H.G. Wells.
Oh, yeah?
And it's called The First Men in the Moon.
Oh.
You still want to hear it?
And so I thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity. I'll have a go.
Go on, Jet. Give it a try.
So I wrote my first sample, and we played it to all the directors of Light Entertainment, including Michael Standing, and they said, oh, yeah, this scene's fine, yes.
BBC presents Jet Morgan in Operation Luna. October the 19th, 1965.
Of course, you started writing about journeys into space at a time when, I think I'm right in saying, we hadn't even lifted off from this Earth, or at least got past the stratosphere. What were you able to base your stories on?
Well, I had a practical connection here. I was in the RAF. I flew with the RAF for 3.5 years. I was a radio operator. And I got very friendly with a man called Kenneth Gatland, now dead, I'm afraid, who designed rockets. And he worked down at Farnborough. Also, Another man that worked down at Farnborough I'd known when I was in the RAF, and he used to contact me and tell me what was happening in the space world, as you might say, because this was the period when Sputnik was first launched, and the Russian Sputnik was encircling the Earth at the time. And this was the fulfilment, it seemed to me, of all my dreams with regard to all the dreams that had been induced in me by H.G. Wells. I thought, well, this is H.G. Wells come true.
9.5, plus 10.
Number 2, contact.
10.5, plus 11.
Stabilizer, stand by.
Standing by.
Stabilizer, now.
10.5, 10.
Gentlemen, we're on the moon.
Of course, it's a great leap from putting Sputnik up, which was a technical feat in itself, then to getting men onto the moon or to Mars, which you did. Was that all from your imagination?
Well, I suppose it was, but lots of other people's imagination as well. There had been a film about men landing on the moon, which was around at the time. And, of course, H.G. Wells had put men on the moon before the First World War. So it wasn't a new idea. People had been talking about it or writing about it for years. But, of course, at this time, it seemed possible.
Have you taken a look at the Earth yet? You can make out the African continent quite easily. And the southern ice cap. The reflection is brilliant.
You were something of a stargazer yourself, weren't you?
Yes, I had an observatory in my garden. And I used to do all my observing out there. And I used to, when I couldn't get any inspiration for scripts, for ideas, I used to go out, especially on a moonlight night, set up the telescope and look at the moon. And I would look at the very spot where my characters were stranded. And so I could see exactly what rocks were around there, the Great Wall, as it's called, and various craters where they might get lost and so on. So it was all very authentic, I mean. And as I was at the telescope, I used to dictate a few ideas to my amanuensis, who was in the corner, wrapped in a blanket because it was so cold, my wife. And then we'd go in after, she'd give me all the notes, she'd type them out, and sometimes I'd sit up all night writing the show. Otherwise, I'd get up early and do it in the morning.
Journey into Space Force with Charles Chilton. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended. Transmission ended.